If you'll take the Word of God and stand with us just for a little bit this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It's in the Old Testament, not that far from Genesis, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to read verses 5 through 9 this morning. And enjoyed last week. God blessed tremendously. We had a great Sunday morning. And we're going to follow along that lead this morning in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 5 through 9. Would you look there, please? God's word says, for gold, the gold for good things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of the thousands of hundreds and rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for they that offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And Father, we ask you again today to speak to our hearts. We thank you for what we learn in the Bible every time we open it. We're always amazed at how good you are to us that way. Bless this time we have together, this dedication service, and may it please you. Thank you for what's about to take place, for we know it's biblical. Thank you for the Word of God, for we know it's true. And thank you for the people of God who've assembled today to fellowship one with another, but mostly to come because they want to worship you and spend time in your Word and learn from you. And we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Good. God bless you. You can be seated. Last week, I spoke about what does thy word say about memorial. We learned that when we have the goodness of God in our lives, we need to make memorials of those things in our lives. And we learned how the children of Israel, when they left wandering, finally going into the land of Canaan, crossing over the river Jordan, they were told to take 12 stones, each man from a tribe, and place it on the other side, so that in years to come, when the children of the generations would come by and see that monument of stones, they would say, what mean these stones? And you'd be able to tell them, we came across that river right there on dry land. God separated for us. God made a way. Just like he did in the Red Sea, when he took us out of bondage, he's taken us through Jordan to bring us in to liberty and blessing. And we'll see today another thing that goes along with that. And that is this, we're going to learn what thy word says about dedication. You see, it's important that we dedicate things to God, just as there are those things that we have made memorials to the goodness of God about. And we learn that we don't do that in Christianity today like we ought to. We need to memorialize. I talked about it last week, how every dad and mom needs to have their salvation experience memorialized in such a way that their children know every detail about how they got saved. They need to grow up knowing that dad saved, mom saved, and how they got saved. It needs to be a memorial moment. The kids need to know when that day rolls around in the year. And when you were called the preacher, you were called to work, or the ministry you're doing, or whenever God's goodness, you prayed some special prayer in life, and God met that special need. And you need to bring it before your family. You need to make a memorial out of it. And a church needs to do the same thing. We may have a memorial about the fact that this building was prayed over so many years ago by people. You had no idea what God would do. And then you're sitting here today benefiting from those prayers. We made a memorial over that. We made a memorial over the things that God has done in this place. We have a board on the back. And every time I come to church, I look at it. I remember the saints that were here that are now in heaven. And I remember where they sat and the things they did. I make a memorial of their life and testimony and influence in this church over the years. And I think about that often, how God's good to us. He gave those folks to us to enjoy their fellowship in God's work. But you know, just as there is this time in our lives when we need to make things memorial, there also needs to be those things that have been dedicated to God first. And we set out to dedicate to Him. And out of those things, God will give us many that we can memorialize. Memorials to the goodness of God are made from the dedications that we give to God. We talk about rededicating our lives. We talk about this and that. We dedicate something. We establish it for a certain purpose. We dedicate this building for God's work. This is not our church. People go by all the time. Or people call me and say, Brother Don, I saw your little church. It's so cute. And I say, you did. I don't remember you being in the building with us on Sunday. It's not the church, amen. It's not this building. I know what they mean. But this is not the church. This is the location. I'm looking at the church this morning, at Anchor Baptist Church this morning here. You, the individuals, that members here, this is the church. This is the facility God's given us. And we dedicated it for God's work. And in this dedicated place, we have memorials of many things that God has done, none of which, and the greatest of all, of course, is the Lord's Supper, the greatest memorial we have. And we take very seriously on that day. But it's because it's dedicated for that use. And we don't want it to be used for anything that would bring dishonor to the Lord in any way. And some things it may be able to be used for, and others it won't. Because it's been dedicated for that use. And it's there for that use. And maybe it's set empty and not be used until another time when it's needed. And special, and it'd be dedicated. It's dead already dedicated. We don't have to do that again. And set aside for use. And there are some things we'll learn about that this morning. I want to take you through just a couple passages. The 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles are sort of, the Chronicles are sort of a log book, a sort of a repeated written history of what went on in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel. But if you look in 1 Kings chapter 7, and we're going to touch on a verse, and then 1 Kings chapter 8, a verse, and we'll look in 2 Chronicles and see the correlating verses that go with it, you're going to see something that deals with dedication. It's an important fact. In 1 Kings 7, verse 51, so was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels that he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. You and I have read the Bible. We know that David's the one that wanted to build this house. And he asked God, point blank, can I build this house for you? You see, unlike his predecessor Saul, who wanted nothing to do with the man of God, the house of God, David couldn't stay out of it. He couldn't stay away from him. He wanted to honor God in this way. But he was a man of war, and God would not let him, by principle, for that reason, God's choice. But he did let David collect the stuff. And Solomon, his son, now is of age, and he's on the throne. David is gone. He has all these things that have been sitting in a warehouse, dusting. Been sitting in a warehouse, collected. Because they are dedicated. They're not to be used for anything other than one day when he'll be able to put that house of God together, then they'll be used. And we know through the history that's been recorded in the nation of Israel that the Solomon's temple, well, has been on this earth. Now, there'll be one day in the millennium, but has been on this earth the most beautiful temple that they've ever had. And David is the man that collected all that beauty. Solomon's the one that put it together. And it sat all that time. You see, you dedicate things for God's work, and somewhere out there, there'll come a time in which God will be able to use it, and then you build your memorial. And it may be years. Those stones that they picked up out of the River Jordan that day, they were in that river for years and years and years and years and years. And they lay right there. And could have easily been taken out at some point, swimmers, and brought them to shore and used for anything under the sun. But God had a purpose for them one day, knowing what would happen one day. And those men gave their lives and brought those out and set them up. And they were there all those times. But there came a day when the dedicated needed to be memorialized. But it's got to be dedicated first. And we see that all these things. Then in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 63... 1 Kings 8, 63, a chapter over, the Bible said, and Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. I thought about that. How would you folks love to come to Anchor Baptist Church? We're going to have a great service, and you be here long enough to watch me offer up 22,000 animals in offering. I mean, can you imagine having 22,000 on the grounds of this place? I mean, he did all of this in that time period. Now listen to what it said. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. There was no house of the Lord prior to this story. There was just stuff. There was just building materials. There was just things. There was no Anchor Baptist Church, no building for us to meet in. This place, prayed over years before, set as things, as stuff. And the right time, when God opened the door for us to be here, and in September of 2000, and then in March when we purchased it, we dedicated this building to God's use. We dedicated what God had done, made a memorial out of those who years ago had prayed that God would give the building to us. And children of Israel are now dedicating the house of God to the Lord's use. And in that place, Great and mighty things would take place in the house of God that Solomon had. Great and mighty works would go on. God's hand would move in mighty ways because that had been dedicated, had been used for him. Now, if you look in the book of 2 Chronicles, it sort of repeats itself, but there's a couple things it says I want you to pick up on. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, the Chronicles of the Kings. You'll find those stories in 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Samuel. But in 2 Chronicles 5, 1, Solomon brought in all the things that David, his father, had dedicated. I want you to notice the similarity in those two verses between that one and 1 Kings 7, 51. First off, it was all the things. Not one single thing that was dedicated for God's service one day was left out of that picture. We need to understand that that which we dedicate for God's use, be it a child, be it a car, be it a house, be it a youth, whatever it may be, every detail, every bit of everything we detail that we set aside to dedicate for God, every bit of it must one day be used for Him. That's why it's dedicated. That's why it's set aside for Him. A child that's dedicated to God is not dedicated to God so that one day he can mostly give his life to God and please the parents will be. But that child is dedicated so that all of its life one day will be given to God. And that every thought it has and that every deed it does and that every place it goes will be that which pleases God because it's been dedicated for God's work. And a building that's been dedicated for God's work is to be used for all of it's to be used for God's work. The shed is to be used for God's work somehow. The grounds is to be used for God's work. The parking lot is to be used for God's work. Nothing is to take place on that which is dedicated that would dishonor what it's been dedicated for because it's been set aside. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 5, Solomon and all the people dedicated the house of God. Now those two sets of scriptures, we learned some principal things there we picked up on. But I want you to quickly go with me to the book of Acts chapter 6, and we're going to see this carried over in the New Testament. Often people say, Brother Don, that's an Old Testament ideology, an Old Testament theology. But I want you to understand that it's a Bible theology, a Bible ideology. It's God's Word speaking through the ages. And the concept of what you dedicate must be used for God, must be made memorials for God, carries over Old and New Testament and into the current day we live in today. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, and in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Now you know there was hard times and it got difficult to do a lot of the task and the preachers and the work that was going on, and widows that needed to be taken care of weren't being taken care of, not because somebody was lazy, but because there was an issue that arose and things needed to be redesigned for it. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Note this, whom we may appoint over this business. We want to dedicate them. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. We've already dedicated what we do. You see, these men had said God had called us to preach. God has called us to pastor. God has called us and given us this calling and this administrative role of the church. And we have dedicated ourselves to that. And we've dedicated the work that goes into doing that. And it is not right for us to leave those things. You can take care of this business. You should do this. We have to appoint them and we will dedicate them when you get them. Here's the criteria for them. And they gave it to them. And the people were pleased with it, the Bible says. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Wow, what a man of God they chose. Wow, what a man. Stephen. Stephen did what he did and said what he said because Stephen was dedicated. He was used of God, set apart by the people of God for the work of God. So that the preachers who had their work to do could continue to do what God had given them to do that they had dedicated for God. A man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timothy, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And what they did was say, guys, get at it. Take care of those widows. They're never mentioned again. They took care of them. Not a problem anymore. Two things took care of immediately. The dedication of the men of God got to keep and honor their dedication to God. To do the things that they needed to do to get their work done. So that they would be not successful, but so they'd be right with God. So that what God should have out of them, could have out of them, because what they dedicated to God, the prayer and the reading and the fasting, would be maintained so that nothing would be lost among the congregation. And thereby the congregation got wise and matured, because they learned the principle of dedicating those faithful who could do work for God in the church, appointed by the church, dedicated by the church, to go get that done. In verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the prophet priests were obedient to the faith. What does thy word say, Lord, about dedication? It precedes memorial. Tomorrow, our country set aside a time to memorialize every soldier who gave his or her life in service of our country. You have family members or may know of some who in the wars past lost their lives serving our country. And to you and to your families, I owe you a greater debt. We do. But may I tell you, that could never have happened tomorrow had something not happened many years previous. When they went into an induction office, they did more than just sign up. They did more than just put their name on the line. They did more than just something. They dedicated themselves. They changed from being a civilian to being a person of the military. And they gave their lives. They signed on the line. They gave their lives. That day they gave their lives. If you pardon me, that day they died for their country in advance. Never wanting it to be used, but it's there as a dedication. Many of those that signed are still alive and have never been called upon to give that memorial yet. But so many others have. And they never could have, they never would have, had they not years ago dedicated themselves to give their lives for the work they were going to do for the cause of our country. The children of God are the same way. God has called them to do a work in this land He's given them. And they are dedicating themselves for God's work. They dedicated the utensils. They dedicated, if you pardon, if this had been that day, they would have dedicated the pews in the building. And asked God to bless those pews, and that he who sets on them and she who sets on them would be under the convicting hand of God, and God would teach it. They dedicated those, the furniture in the temple. They dedicated the utensils that were used by the priest. Those altars and the tools, the lanterns and whatever else it may be. All of those things. Every individual piece was all dedicated to be used of God. And after that day was over and all of the folks had gone home and tucked themselves into bed that night and rose the next morning, nothing, not a thing that was dedicated was used yet. Then there would come that day of the week on the seventh roll around when they would have worship on the Sabbath, and now Sunday because of his death and resurrection. And they would begin from all walks of life to move their way from where they were farmers in the field or workers in the barn or inventors or whatever it may be. They would work their way down to that place where that building stood, where those things were that they had dedicated, and there they would meet in that temple, in that synagogue, in that place, and there they would have the worship that God had designed for them, because that had been dedicated for that. And when they got there, it was there. And when they got there, they did what goes on there in that place, because it was dedicated for that. It grieves my heart today as a preacher to know that in a lot of pulpits and churches around this country today, people have gotten up on this morning and made themselves ready to come down to what is supposed to have been dedicated for God, what is supposed to be there waiting on them for God, only to come into some building in some place and to be in a spot where the things that go on in there do not bring honor and glory to God, do not give Him homage for who He is and honor for what He is and what He can do and how precious He is. But in that place, they treat the feelings and behaviors of folks instead of worshiping the Almighty for everything that He is, because they're in that place. Nothing has been dedicated for God's work and God's work, that the people of God can come because they know it's there. And that's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let me go into the house of the Lord, because he knew it was dedicated for that. Amen. And he looked forward to being there that day among that which was dedicated. In years to come, there will be great memorials in those services because of what was dedicated.
You dedicate your work for God, a child. I'll dedicate, with God's willingness and providence this morning, my third grandchild. And I do not yet know what God was doing with any three of them. But one day, if God should bless me and I live long enough, and I hope I do, I hope to see all of them using, Brother Dave, everything that's been dedicated. Because now that they've been dedicated, their education, their environments, their backgrounds, their friends, their family, their churches, everything that goes on in their lives, their homes, their houses, everything, because they've been dedicated, it's been set aside that they might honor and live their lives for God's glory. And I look forward one day to be able to see them in the work of God because of that. Matter of fact, I don't even look forward to it. One of these days, I expect to start seeing things going that way. I want to see one day them begin to move those dedicated things as they did that day into the work of God. And I expect one day to see that first service, that first time when the dedicated is used of God. There'll come a day. There'll come a generation that does not know about that building we have down here. There'll come a generation doesn't know about things in this building. And they'll sit in the pew and they'll look up and I won't be here. And they'll nudge somebody and say, "Hey, where'd y'all get them at? What's that?" And I want people of God to know the memorials that are here because of the dedications that existed. And they will, with confidence and greatness, say, "Hey, let me tell you about what our God did. Let me tell you about what the Lord that liveth in. Let me tell you what He can do for you." They share the story of what's been dedicated unto them. The background that they have and what it means. This morning I'll answer three questions, I hope, in this area. What does thy word say about dedication? First off, what to dedicate? We dedicate not everything. Everything is not used for the house of God, the work of God. But what do we dedicate? There was five things that showed up in all of these verses that we saw this morning. In 2 Chronicles 29:5, we saw that individual service was dedicated. That every child of God has been given talents of God and abilities. That God designed you just like you. There are no ugly people to God. God did not make any ugly folk. To everybody, God made you. And He likes what He sees. To everybody, there are no dumb people. Might be to mere you, but not to God. There's no stupid ones unless we act that way. He said, "I'm not as smart as somebody else." I was one of those, honey. My little brother, that's a play on words, amen. My little brother, but I love him today, I love him. But that kid, he could go take his math book or his English book. It's not right. I don't understand it, brother. He'd go read that thing the night before. I mean, just read it and go play basketball. And the next morning, no sweat, make a B, A minus. I had to take my math book, call the author, go out to dinner with him, give him some money. Asking to put a bug in my ear, sat in the class and write it all over my hands, and I begged my way through and get a C. Couldn't figure it out. Used to cry and say, "It's not fair! It's not fair! He's playing! I'm reading! I don't get it!" You know, I realized it one day. God made us both the way He did for a reason. God is not interested in dedicating just the smart things. My word tells me that God uses the things that nobody would even think of. He uses those things that are small and little and nothing and least and base. Because they've been dedicated for Him. And right now, to this world, they don't think anything of it. Oh, it's kind of cute to think. And you take a child at birth and you dedicate it to God's work. And they're thinking, what purpose is that? Oh, it's just some religious service you're doing. But they don't understand that that child being dedicated for God will now have a life where parents will serve the Lord and live for God. And one day, that child will take the dedicated things and move them into God's work. But you know what? It's sad, isn't it? That we live in the number one Christian nation in the world today, and Christian family after Christian family have seen their young people graduate high school and go out into the world and do not the things that God is pleased with, because they've never been given anything dedicated in their lives to do with God for. They have nothing dedicated to serving with. Can you imagine what kind of service it would have been that day if they had walked into that building and there were no things? Where's the things that David had? Well, we lost them over the years. We kind of got careless back there with the Amorites and the Hittites and all those other ites, and we just kind of, we don't have none of that anymore. Well, whoopee, why are we here? What are we here for? and the world has to substitute liturgy and stunts and things and activities to replace the emptiness of not having those things dedicated to be used for God, to be used for His kingdom and work. It'd be kind of an empty place this morning, Brother Lauren. You and I showed up to have service today. Nobody showed up. A whole lot of Christians in this area. Bible said Satan not sending themselves together, but they don't show up today. Members, that's okay. We're going to worship God two or more. Amen. Jesus is here. But you know what? We're not going to get much memorial done tomorrow. Because the dedicated things aren't where they belong. See, when you got saved, you didn't get saved and you're still an island to yourself and the control of everything and destiny and all that. You got saved. You were bought with a price. You pardon me, but God set you aside for something. Dedicated you for this, and it's this only to bring on the glory of Him. Every single time, I don't care if your toenail comes out, your ingrown, your aunt moves, I don't care what it is. Every single time you go to church, you're saying, God, dedicate things to what He wants. You do what you want. He may not. That soldier that signed on that line of saying to his country, I give my life today. I hope I don't have to, but I give it today. And every day he wakes up, his life is back on the line. It's dedicated to him. Our country goes into war again. They send those trained soldiers back into battle. They've already dedicated themselves to that work. They're there. They're trained. They're schooled. They're learned. And any child that's dedicated to God is to be taught and learned and schooled and educated and provided the tools necessary to accomplish the very thing it's dedicated for. Because there's no memorial without dedication. Individual service. I also noticed in 1 Kings 7:51 that there were specific things. Not just individual service, but there were specific things dedicated for that. Individualized, itemized things dedicated for God's work. That's what we call a communion table. That's what we call a bulletin table back there. We put notices upon it, given to us for that reason, bulletins on it, things like that. We don't put announcements in there of worldly things, whether they be good or bad, we don't. And simply because that one is set aside to announce the things that are going on within the church fellowship. We have a bulletin board for some of those things in the back. We certainly wouldn't put an announcement of a dance or a drunken party on there. We certainly wouldn't do that. That's not been dedicated for that. We don't want it to lose its value of dedication for that reason. We want it to remain what it has been given all these years for that reason. Then I noticed that in 1 Kings 8:63, the very house of God itself was dedicated. This whole place was dedicated to God on September 24, 2000. In our very first service, we dedicated this. It's our dedication service, what we called it. And we dedicated these facilities for God's work and use. We dedicated them for the process and the business of getting the gospel to the lost and teaching Christians and building a strong faith in a community and in the world and being obedient, giving Christians opportunity to come and belong and have a place to serve God and live for Him and use the talents that God has given to them that they should have dedicated Him to begin with. Not only that, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, we saw that there were qualified servants that were dedicated. People of God to be used. Every Sunday school teacher is a dedicated person. Or they don't need to be teaching. Every deacon, every usher, every person that works for God in the New Testament church is a dedicated. They're dedicating their service to God in that capacity. To be used for God in that way, for the Lord's house. And to serve God their days. Brother B.B. Cato, in my mind, as a kid growing up, was a man in the church. Not perfect because he was man. I just know him as one of the men of the church for the longest time. Didn't even know if he was a deacon or what. I just knew he was faithful. But one thing I knew, he was always there and he greeted everybody. He used to always say, Cato's name, guess you know yours. He'd shake their hands when they come in the door. And I can remember that. And he always made me feel welcome. And I was a member. That was his ministry, to make people feel welcome when they come in God's house. He was there before anybody else ever showed up. He was the first one always. You can't welcome somebody if you're not there. You got to get there before the earliest one gets there. He dedicated himself to that. I never went to church at that place in my life, any sick or Sunday, but what I didn't expect to see, that door swing open and B.B. Cato standing there. Because he was dedicated for that. That was his service that he was set aside for. And in my mind and my children, I've talked about it in this ministry enough. I built a memorial to him, not as a human being that's to be looked up to and ooh, not, but the memorial to the fact that what God can do when someone's life and they realize they love him and they live for him to encourage others. And what a blessing it is. And then not only what to dedicate, last of all in that verse 4 is our personal devotion. And it says, and we will give ourselves continually. They want to devote themselves. You know, we need in America today a band of Christians that will stand up and say, you know what? Prayer doesn't need to be abandoned. It needs to be intensified. Bible study doesn't need to be something I get done if I got time. It's something I make time for. Anything else goes on, it will or don't. My time with God is more important than my time at the dinner table. It must be. Of great important value. I read the Old Testament, I read the old stories of the men of God in our country and in the world history who got up at 2 and 3 and 4 and for 2 and 3 and 4 hours prayed, and often they said they don't know how. They one said he could not live the day without that time with God every morning. And any morning he ever was rushed through and did not start right, his day was a disaster. Because he did not spend it with God. He knew he needed to dedicate that time with God to be able to do the things he did. We marvel at George Mueller. We ooh and ah at George Mueller and the millions that went through his hands. And the fact he never told anybody, not a single person outside of his wife, what exact needs they had, and sometimes not even her. And how God met everything. And all we learn out of that is this, that he dedicated time to God every morning. He called it learning how to be happy in Jesus. Where he would talk to God and leave those problems with him. And then go expect things from God. Because that's how great a God we got. Not only what to dedicate, but how to dedicate it. Do you notice in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 6 through 9, the Bible says that they offered willingly, that they rejoiced. They offered willingly, with a perfect heart. They willingly did it, and they had a right attitude about it. Parents don't need to dedicate their children to God because it's a ritual. They might be willing, but that's not a perfect heart. You don't need to dedicate something for God's work and service unless you not only have a willing heart to do it, but you're doing it for the right reasons. You love him. You literally love him. You want to honor him with it. See, that's a pure heart. That's a righteous heart. That's the perfect heart that he wanted. They did that. That's how to do it. You dedicate God's work in the places you're in. You dedicate the things you have. You dedicate your life for God because you love him and you want him to get glory in your life. Preachers are not number one on the list. And then come assistants and deacons as far as the high callings of God. May I tell you this? Every Christian that's obedient to live for Christ in their life, whether God has them as a lawyer or a preacher or a ditch digger, but they give their life to the Lord's work, that's the number one place. That's honoring God. B.B. Cato was a contractor. He built and tore down houses. I don't know what else he didn't like, but I watched him swing them hammers. He had the tools. Boy, he had the language. He knew the language. He could do the work. I was amazed at what he could do. I just never seen stuff like that. It's fascinating. See how they did that stuff. He just knew the words. He knew what to do. He could just gauge. He'd done it so many years, he could just think in his head and do it. Because he dedicated his whole life to it. You met people like that, haven't you? Dedicated their whole lives to what they do, and they die. That's what we know them for. And as a child of God, we need to be known as a child of God. We need to be known when we leave this world one day as one who lived for God, served God, and our whole life, that's what it was all about. Not only what to dedicate, how to dedicate, but why. Did you look in the 7th verse of Acts 6? You see why? What happens when we dedicate things to God and God is honored and glorified with it? Number one, the word of God increases. It gets out. People began to hear what God says. Because the dedicated things are being used for him. Number two, the number of disciples will multiply. Souls get saved and people get discipled and it grows. You get reached. My wife and I, on June the 21st, 1980, got married. We created a whole new family that never existed before. The Von Buskirk Juniors. There was none before I got married to her. And out of that union has come 5 precious children, 1 in heaven, but 5 here on earth. And you know what? They have children, and my son will grow up one day and maybe have a kid and carry on our name that way. But here's a fact that cannot be avoided. If they had no children and died, my time on earth would be over. The Von Buskirk Juniors would die off. No matter how good intentional people we might have been or how sweet we might have been, but if it had not grown beyond that, it would have died off. But we're still here kicking. Why? Because we're giving birth. We're growing outside of ourselves. Tyler and Ashley, Bonnie, all the kids, whatever, my sisters, whatever, you know, that's growing. A church, new folk coming, visiting, reaching people, winning them to Christ, whatever, that's growing. And that's how the work of God that's dedicated for God continues on for years and years and years. Because that which is dedicated is still living and growing. I mean, they dedicated this stuff to God. Years would go by before they would ever put it in a place and use it. And God would bless in spite of it. And then last of all, it said, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, I want you to look at that and think for a moment. If God's people would dedicate what they have to God like they should, and use it for God, and build the memorials for Him they should, not only would the word of God spread and folk will begin to look, our country is hurting today, self-inflicted, because we've gotten away from teaching the word of God in our homes. Yes, we understand that. We're seeing that today. If we got back to teaching in our homes like it ought to be, some things would take care of themselves. And we'd have another generation that would know what it's like to have God. But I'm talking about the priests. I'm talking about the religious leaders of the day. And now we've seen a day in our country where the religious leaders don't even know Him. They're religious. Do you know the day that the world thinks spiritualism has nothing to do with the Bible? It has nothing to do with God. Spiritualism is that religious function in you that operates inside of you, innate in you. It has nothing to do with the creator. It's the creature's response in any way he wishes. But everything I've read in the Bible tells me that it's not spiritual unless it is scriptural. Because that's where it got its foundation. Nothing. The lost can never be spiritual in that sense. They can never worship God. How can they? They're dead spiritually. The Bible said when I got saved, you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in your trespass and sins. I've been made alive in Christ. Now I have something alive that can do something. The dead can't. They can't anymore. You know, death does something nothing else in this world ever does. It removes a person as if they'd never been there. As if they'd never been there. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And you look into that casket, there's nothing more that can be done. No matter what you see or know, it's over. You know what? We're living. We're alive, you and I. And we've been given this life and this body that we might dedicate it to God. Designed of God to be saved, designed to live for Him, designed to be dedicated to Him. For that one day in our lives we can build these memorials to do the work of God. If the children of Israel had not been obedient to God, had perished in the wilderness back there with Moses when God wanted to wipe them all out, there never would have been 12 men to take those stones and put them on the other side of Jordan. There never would have been a Jordan experience. They'd never made it that far. Because back there, somebody said, let's dedicate some things. Let's dedicate ourselves to be obedient to God. Let's dedicate ourselves to live for Him and to obey Him, to follow Him. And somewhere out there in the distance, that which was dedicated was there and ready to be used for God. We have a lot to dedicate to the Lord today. And I pray that we'll be willing to do it. Father, thank You. For Your love, Your mercy, thank You for the things You do that is pleasing in Your sight, that we would do that would honor You also. Help us this day to live for You. Speak to our hearts this morning. Someone may hear this morning that's lost, that's never trusted Christ. We love them. I know You do. We've dedicated our lives, our building, our fellowship, our whatever goes on, to try to let them know that Jesus loves them and that the love of God is real and that they need to trust in Him. There may be Christians this morning that really haven't grasped hold of this idea of dedicating and dedicating that which is given to God that He owns, that He might use it in His service. And then we can build the memorials. Because one day back there, it was dedicated for God. Help us dedicate those things we can for You and then save them and use them just for that and nothing else, that You would be pleased. We give You honor and glory for it. In Your name we pray. Would you stand? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you do that, please? Let God speak to your heart this morning. Jamie's going to play on the piano. You listen to what God is speaking to your heart this morning. You need to get saved. Today is the day of salvation. The Lord Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He wants to redeem your soul. Christian, He wants you to dedicate what you have to Him. So I ain't got much. Maybe it's a worn out Ford. But you dedicate it to God's use. He might ask you to pick up somebody and bring them to church one day. If you've dedicated it, use it. We tend to think it's ours unless we dedicate it to Him. May I remind you something? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You don't own it anyway. How about you have a willing heart and dedicate it to Him anyhow? He'll let you use it. And when the time comes, it'll be there and ready to be used for Him. What a blessing. This idea of dedicating. Father, bless the invitation, please. Your will be done. In your name we pray.
Page 308. 308.